This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dynamite! Hey, everybody, it's Dynamite Show, Paul Fontaine, along with the returning Jeff Hawkins.
Yes.
And Jeff, our condolences to you. I think you said you listened to the show, so...
I did.
We already talked about it last week. We don't need
Is this about Virginia basketball? Hold on.
I think they're still at 14. 14 points in the first half? Come on, dude.
No, I appreciate everybody reaching out with condolences and thoughts and prayers. But yeah, it was a tough time, but we got through it.
Lots happened since we last saw you. Mercedes Moné debuted last week, and she's already made a present. And they had a couple really nice houses last week in Boston, this week in Toronto. Mm-hmm. I don't think they sold a ton of tickets for next week, but they announced some pretty good matches. So. I think, and they did a good job promoting them tonight, which we'll talk about. So, that's good. And that should help, their debut in Quebec City, which is not a huge wrestling town. So, I mean, if it doesn't do well, I wouldn't panic. And that London show is going to be tough.
Well, they're a good wrestling town if you have hometown people who are French Canadian on the card.
Yeah, and Matt Menard isn't doing it.
Yeah, he's not Kevin Owens, and he's not Sami Zayn, both of whom would, I think, kill in Quebec. Oh. More Montreal than Quebec City, but nevertheless. What's that?
My heart medication.
Oh, okay.
I forgot to take it before we started. Sorry. Ah. for those on video. Oh, hey, and welcome to those on video. And make sure you sign up for the site, channel if you haven't already. And for those listening on audio, welcome. We had a 3-hour show today. We had the 2 hours of Dynamite, 1 hour Rampage, and gonna try to keep it, because we're doing this later than usual, we're gonna try to keep it, you know, around an hour. So I didn't take as detailed notes as usual, but it was a lot of wrestling and not much else happening, so hopefully we'll get through it. But Jeff, you mentioned before we started that you wanted to talk a little bit about Kevin Kelly.
Yeah,
was released from AEW, and I guess it started in the Voices of Wrestling Discord.
Yes, it did. Yeah. Well, a bit, or at least Ian was getting a little bit of revenge in the Voices of Wrestling Discord. I've taken a stance that not a lot of people like, and I'm fine with that, because you know, I'm here for it. And this isn't personal per se. It's not because I don't like Ian Riccoboni. It's not because my idea of his political leanings or whatever. I just thought he should have been released too. I think after what he said in the Discord. Now look, I think Kevin Kelly should have been released for taking it public, and yes. I think that was perfectly justified. But if Kevin Kelly reached out in any way to the company asking them to do something about this and they didn't, then AEW is going to be part of this lawsuit. And I'll
is he
read
suing?
You.
Is he suing?
There's some legal stuff going on.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. Or at least according to my knowledge. And I think he has a pretty decent case. I mean, here's what Ian Riccoboni wrote, because I have a screenshot of it.
Okay.
This is October 19th, 2023. Also had no idea he was going to promote QAnon movies, or else I might have made a different suggestion. I suppose that his name was always in the mix, but that QAnon stuff kind of breaks my heart a bit. And then somebody goes, well, he was always liking right-wing stuff on Twitter, to be honest. And Ian responded, there's that, and there's directly supporting something that is half step away from claiming there are children in the basement of a pizza shop, a claim that has led to attempted an actual violence, and that has consumed the mental health of many. Disappointed in a lot of it. Blowing that I was the surprise collision commentator and then saying without tagging me that nobody should wear a cowboy hat. I'm sorry, my photo cowboy hat the same day it was announced I signed and all the other petty stuff. And it was basically he was mad at the announcement and then he kind of took it out there. But still, I mean, look, I know that Kevin Kelly is religious and I know that that's how the guerrilla marketing of, what is it, Sound of Freedom?
Yeah.
Stuff. I get that. And I know that Kevin Kelly probably got a little bit more defensive than he should have. But at the same time, it's like if you're saying those things about a coworker, I'm sorry. You either have to apologize or both of you get fired, in my opinion.
Well, I think like as soon as he posted that and then somebody in the VOW
somebody, of course, screenshotted it and went to Twitter. Wasn't me. I screenshotted just because I was like, what the hell? I was going to point out and go, you need to delete this.
Once you post something in a Discord, and we know we had something like that.
There's no expectation of privacy in a Discord.
No. And as soon as that came out, this should have been handled behind closed doors. And they should have said, neither one of you guys ever talk about this again.
And my feeling is that Tony may have punted this. Because what Kevin Kelly was saying on Twitter and what got him canned was that nobody's reached out to me about this type of a thing. Now, it just depends on was he waiting for Tony to come to him or did he actually go and file an actual complaint? That's going to be the basis of whether or not. And oddly enough, the expectation of privacy in a Discord was a case I was just involved with that apparently just got dismissed 2 hours ago, which sucks because I kind of wanted them busted.
Well, we had something similar in the Viking Media Discord where, you know, like somebody posted something that was kind of a scoop and he thought it was private and someone screenshotted it and wasn't.
Took it out. I mean,
so you've got to be careful.
People edit stuff on the figure four board and post it on the.
Happen with me, in our old Facebook group, same thing. The only thing I will say about that is, I think Kevin Kelly was trying to get fired.
Really?
So I do. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think he was happy, but but he also gave up the New Japan gig.
I think when he went on Twitter that day, he knew what he was doing and knew that the end result was going to be getting fired. Now that's probably after months of frustration over nothing being done.
Yes.
And maybe thinking, hey, I'll get myself fired and maybe I'll get a nice settlement out of this.
Because I think Tony got put on the collision team right after this happened, and so that was a demotion per se.
And the claim was that Shivani asked to do it, and it's like, well, if why did you hire someone to do it? And then so I don't either. That is BS, or it's just bad management.
But you know, people on the figure four board jumped down my throat when I suggested this. I was just like, I have very set rules. You know, if you're gonna call somebody a Nazi.
Yeah,
they better be for the killing. You know, they need to be actual. You can't say those types of things, even if it's for effect. And look, I think Ian couched it okay, but still, that's something, you know, you don't say in public, you don't say on a forum, and if you do, we need to have a meeting behind closed doors and settle this whole thing because there is no right about this, and there's no way. I don't care if Tony likes Ian more than Kevin. You can't let a guy get away with that to me.
I just think
if I ever said anything like that about anybody on Fight Game Media, Garrett should fire me immediately.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've had my disagreements with people in the group and we've had to settle it. And, you know, we've talked about that I'm decent friends with the people now. So
be adults. That's all I ask of people. Go ahead. All right. Now we can get back to the show.
We can. And they were in Toronto for Dynamite and Rampage because the NCAA tournament's going on this weekend. And unlike last year when Rampage got a huge lead in from the opening games, they decided to move the show to Wednesday this week, which I think
screw screw those wrestling fans. We're going to just gonna have more post game.
I think this is a test run for 3-hour Dynamites, but we'll find out.
I hope not.
Well, I think that this will do better numbers than it does on Fridays. So, we'll see. Like if they do 600,000 viewers for that third hour, you know, when they sign their new deal, it might be, hey, if you want to keep getting paid for Rampage, we want it on Wednesday. and we'll see what happens, you know. And there's no Collision this week either, so this is the only AEW this week. And they had a good show, I thought. It was well built. They had a like a strong card. Like last week, they announced 5 segments, 3 matches, I think, and 2 other segments, or 4 matches and 1 other segment. Can't remember exactly what was announced ahead of time, but all these matches were announced, well, except for one. And yeah, it was good.
Yes. You're supposed to do that. The thing,
and they used the big audience and the big crowd to promote next week. Imagine that.
Yeah. Gosh.
And set up stuff for the pay-per-view. Holy crap, what a concept.
I mean, to me, the thing they should have done with the Mercedes Moné thing is really the one untapped market that is nerd loyal is that Star Wars audience. And I would have, hey, you remember that actress who did all that cool stuff in that episode of The Mandalorian? Hey, she's wrestling and Katie Sackhoff loves her. So let's show her there. Just try. That's all I ask.
They did put Mandalorian stuff in the video package.
They did, so and I liked good. The video package a lot. I did.
Yeah. So we got a cold open, similar to last week, with they showed Edge and Christian arriving earlier today separately. Now this is straight out of WWE, but that's fine because WWE stole it from every other sport. And it's great, you know. And then they showed Okada pulling up in a sports car. He just looked like a superstar. You know, he comes out, he's wearing a suit. Just perfect. And then they got the new opening credits with a new song. It's very reminiscent of early 2000s Raw.
Yes. Or
even late 90s. Yeah. To get the night, the month, we're in this together.
I made this point 2 weeks ago on this show.
I know. Paul. changed it. I think they made it even more like that. I don't know.
It doesn't sound enough like a Raw knockoff. We need it to sound more.
The graphics were different. Like it's a different look and it's a different feel. And we started in the ring. Tony Schiavone's in the ring and he brings in Mercedes Moné. Unlike usual, I didn't transcribe, you know, every word because it's a 3-hour show and I want to get this done in decent time. But
and it was the same promo as last week, so
pretty much. I mean, she said she's missed everything. She's excited to be here. Fans are, you know, chanting CEO constantly. Every time they do it, she dances. She said it almost got taken away from me at a near career ending injury, and people might not know who I am. So they played that video we talked about. And it was a nice video. It was voiced over by Renee, showed on red carpets, runways.
You know, I don't care if they were trolling criticism of it. This is something that was good for this. I really, you know, oh man, everybody knows who she is. That's fine. But I like hype videos. I think hype is a good thing for wrestlers.
So, making someone look like a star is not a bad thing. Yeah.
It's basics. Oh, look, she's on red carpets. She's kind of a big deal. Maybe somebody who's watching with their boyfriend or girlfriend who doesn't watch wrestling is like, oh, why is she doing all these things? Oh, well, let me tell you, she was on The Mandalorian, blah, blah, blah. I like this. It gets people talking. It's good for the product. It's just good in general.
And it showed highlights of New Japan and Stardom, which I guarantee you 90% of these fans haven't seen.
Correct.
So, you know, that was great. And then they focused on her match with Willow. They showed her being carried off. That was a great video. Mm-hmm. They come back, more CEO chants. She said, this is a great line. Minor setbacks for major comebacks. It's a good line. She said, my mission is clear. I'm not here to lead a woman's evolution. I'm here leading a women's global revolution. So last week, she was a little bit confused between evolution and revolution. Here she got it. She said she came to face the best women in AEW. She stumbled a bit. She said, last week, Julia Hart and the TBS champion...
Yeah.
And she stopped and she said, that's right. And Sky Blue, and not quite a great save, but she tried. She said, when people get in her business, they'll go bankrupt. So that was a slight nod to Sasha Banks.
Yeah, there's a little too cleverness in here. And I'd really, you know, the evolution revolution stuff is kind of, I would just say, I'm here to run the world. And that would be so awesome to me, as opposed to trying to get a clever thing there. But you know, it's not bad. I'll take it for right now.
And she could even say, like, I'm not here to take over the women's division. I'm here to take over this company.
Yes.
So her music played. And so it was like she was going to be played off. And then all of a sudden it stopped and the lights went out and they came back on and Julia's on the ramp. And so they do a bit of a stare down, but then Sky Blue attacked her from behind. But Mercedes is ready for her, lays her out. And then Julia Hart attacks and she's about to lay Julia Hart out. And then Sky Blue makes a save. They went and got chairs from under the ring, but Willow and Chris Statlander made the save. They've got chairs as well. Lights went out again, and when they came back, Julia and Sky were gone. Willow's got a chair cocked and ready to hit Mercedes, but Mercedes turns around, and she gets in her face, and they got into a bit of an argument. And so nice little tease. So I think we've got two matches set up for Mercedes now, Julia Hart and Willow. I'm not sure where they're going to happen in. My guess is Willow's going to beat Julia for that TNT title or TBS title, and then Mercedes will probably beat Willow for the TBS title, would be my guess. Or Mercedes will win it first and then defend against Willow, one of the two.
Same.
So, and yeah, so probably the next two pay-per-view matches. I don't think, I mean, if they're smart, I would not even put Mercedes, I wouldn't even have her wrestle on TV until she wrestles on pay-per-view. Make people pay to see that.
I agree.
Yeah. Earlier today, Alex Marvez was trying to get word with Okada, and he showed up with the Bucks, and the Bucks say, if you want to talk to him, you got to speak Japanese. And they start speaking Japanese to each other. Matt says Okada is handsome. He's got charisma. And Okada always rises to the occasion. And Nick reminded him, it's continental rules tonight, so we can't be at ringside. So we'll produce the match from the back. Matt calls Okada Rainmaker. That was hilarious.
Well, that's a nice short nickname for Rainmaker.
Yes. And he does a promo in Japanese, Okada does. And then he says, Eddie, I'm coming for you. And then Matt asks Alex Marvez if he understood the promo, and he says no, and he says, you're a dumbass, learn some Japanese.
He's right about Duolingo. It is a pain in the ass.
These were good. I mean, I know the Bucks segments aren't always good. This was a good one.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah. Yeah, it's cute, and Okada's a great heel, I think.
I do. I was very interested that they let him – I'm sure they didn't let him drive far. I don't think he has his license in America yet.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that yeah, that makes sense. Renee, they did the entrances, and Renee was doing sideline reporting on the just off the side of the ramp, which it was a nice little touch just for the opening match, but makes it feel more important. And we got Kazuchika Okada and Eddie Kingston for the Continental Championship. It's Continental Rules, so so that means
a 2-day old muffin and some watered down orange juice. Oh wait, no, that's a continental breakfast. Okay.
No interference is allowed. We won't get into that. Nobody allowed at ringside. The one thing they didn't say, and I'm not sure, because I don't know how long this match went, but the Continental Classic also had 20-minute time limits.
Right.
So I'm not sure if this match had a 20-minute time limit or not. I didn't hear the ring announcement.
I think that's just for the tournament. Didn't the tournament also in the finals have a longer time limit?
I don't. Oh, maybe the finals did.
That's what I thought.
Okay. But I know the regular matches were 20 minutes.
Right.
This one, I don't know how long it went. They didn't do any time cues. So I assume it was less than 15 because usually when they get 15, they do a time cue. And but then I don't know how long the time limit was. So I probably missed it, to be fair. So if they did say it, that's on me, not them. But anyways, they had a good match. They showed Matt and Nick in the back with Tony Khan producing. I have no idea what the point of that was, other than
I cute. Didn't like this.
I didn't like part. That part of
because
it.
Because no. I don't like that Tony was just kind of nodding at the Bucks as opposed to kind of being put off by the Bucks.
Get out of here. Like, I'm doing a job, you know, like something. But he's,
be annoyed,
yeah.
Be angry, be something, and say, okay, you know.
And I thought it was going to play into something. Like, I thought maybe they'd, like, you know, same. Ring a bell or do a, and they did nothing. So,
no, he was not acclimating them. I was trying to think of a word. He was basically supporting them in every single. Yeah. When they were being very impressed, he's like, yeah, he's really good. It's like
maybe he's teaching them. But I also just don't like the idea of showing Tony Khan doing his job. You know, like it's just kind of silly. But whatever. The match was interesting. I'll say they started out and they did dueling chants, and the fans were like behind both guys. So it was almost like a UFC fight in that way. But eventually they were going for Eddie because Okada is a great heel. And he's not taking Eddie seriously. Every time he does a move, he's just celebrating almost, like not posing like Mariah May, but I don't know. It's hard to describe, but you'd have to see it. My impression was you would think Okada's been doing American television matches his whole career, because he wrestled this match like a WWE main eventer. And like, I just thought it was great. He fed for Eddie. He did his moves when he needed to do his moves. He wasn't out there trying to put on a five-star match, even though it was an awesome match. Eddie looked great. The announcer did a great job putting Okada over. They mentioned he was a five years as champion when you add up all his title reigns. Okada's chest got busted open from chops. The crowd was chanting, "Fuck him up, Eddie, fuck him up." They didn't bleep that. I wrote down at one point, like when they, he hit the Rainmaker, but Eddie partially blocked it. And they both went down. And at that point, I thought it might go to a draw. And then they were doing dueling chants. Okada grabbed the ref's shirt to block a suplex, and then he gouged Eddie's eye. Eddie hit an enziguri, but he missed the back fist. Okada hit a spinning body slam, and then he hit the Rainmaker, and the fans did a standing ovation, and he got the pin, and the fans popped for the finish, even though they booed him the whole match. So I really, really like this match. Okada won almost clean, but he cheated enough to tell you, hey, I'm a heel. And then they showed the Bucks celebrating in the back with Tony. And again, I have no idea why, but I my guess is that they're going to do more of these matches, and eventually it's going to do, they're going to do something with that, but I don't know. But I'm kind of glad they didn't mess up the match. I don't know. What did you think?
I liked the match. I thought they might tell a different story where Eddie isn't as good a wrestler as Okada, so he gives up on the wrestling and just tries to beat him down. I thought that would have been interesting. But overall, it was a good match. My question is, I have no idea what you do with this Continental title on Okada. Because to me, Okada should throw this title away and just say, yeah, that was nothing. I'm going after the bigger fish now. Look what I did to Eddie. He could have his little title back or whatever.
Maybe they try to make it like Orange Cassidy did with the international title and elevate it.
The guy is so far bigger than the belt. I don't know if he can elevate that title up to a main event type of level. That's the thing for me. It's not that I didn't want Okada to win. It's not that I don't want Okada to not get titles. Maybe we're doing belt collector Okada.
What if he defends against Pac, he defends against Orange, he defends against Moxley, maybe Danielson. Like at that point, like maybe, you know, and then the Bucks say, hey, you know what? His belt is more valuable than the world title because look at all the people he's beat. They could do that.
They could try that. I don't think that's going to work, but they could.
And then eventually you do a unification match down the road.
With which title?
With the world
title. The world?
Yeah. Okada and Ospreay down the road. Maybe maybe next year's Double or Nothing. You know, like I'm thinking a long way away. You know, because I figure Ospreay's winning the title at Wembley. I think everyone's kind of got that earmarked.
Who has Orange Cassidy's belt now? I forgot at that one.
Roddy
hasn't. You're okay. Has not,
I think he's defended it once. yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Like I mean, Okada with a belt is great. So we'll see what happens.
Sure.
We don't want to criticize the booking before.
No. I mean, no. Yeah. The right guy won. It was just.
Yeah.
So
I thought maybe they do a draw and then do a rematch on the pay per view, but you know they didn't. So. And it looks like we're going to get Pac on the pay-per-view because he came out and confronted. Well, he didn't. He just kind of stood there.
Maybe Okada will rechristen it as the Okada title and just make it his own thing, which would be
they can't call it the Intercontinental title.
No, they can't. No. And they have to keep it the Continental because we're going to have this tournament again.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't even know. They weren't real clear. So what they said was the winner of the tournament automatically gets into next year's tournament, but they never actually said the belt is going to be on the line next time. So
right.
Next time could just be for a shot at the belt. You know, like you could have to have 8 guys or 12 guys going through a tournament just to get a shot at Okada. That'd be kind of cool. That makes Okada's belt even more valuable, in my opinion. But so Eddie is still the ROH champion and the New Japan Strong champion at this point.
Yes.
But he's defending the ROH title against Mark Briscoe at Supercard of Honor. Mm-hmm. And I think he's defending that strong title on April 16th or 12th or something in Chicago. I don't know who he's facing. I don't even know if it's announced.
Does Somebody Jungle Boy have a match yet?
Yeah, I think he's wrestling Shota Umino.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Renee was backstage with Swerve. Keep this in mind. He just cut a promo on Joe. He was holding a chain. I assume they're going to be doing a chain match. And he said, but he wants to fight tonight. So he put up an open challenge and he said, send someone big. which they did. And we'll so they go to commercial, they come back. Renee's backstage with Stokely, Willow, and Statlander. They did a promo to build up the street fight tonight. Willow pointed out she's been in more street fights than any woman on the roster. Mercedes shows up. Statlander thanked her, or she thanked Statlander for having Willow's back. She told her she'll be watching the street fight. So keep that in mind.
I thought Statlander's looked really good in promos this past couple of weeks.
Yes.
In terms of her personally, her development, because she's been terrible for the last 3 years in it. And she's been really good here. I found the second half of this awkward, to be honest with you. It felt a little too WWE skit.
They're trying to force like a dissension between Willow and Mercedes.
And it's just like I have no problem with Willow or with Mercedes holding a grudge. It's just one of those things where it's just like, don't even talk to Willow. Don't even acknowledge her. Just walk away or something. You know, make it a little bit more realistic than melodrama for me. But, you know, it's what they're going to do now. So,
yeah. And they also, Stokely was trying to.
Yeah. And then it ended on the Stokely joke. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba. And you're like, Stokely's not the fulcrum of this program. We don't need to see his reaction to this.
Well, then, and isn't that how they ended the scene? Showing his face,
staring at him, you know, looking confused, like it's a sitcom or something.
Well, no. It was almost, they might as well just played that music behind, and his face was, you know, it was like,
You know what it was? It was they teach you this in sitcom writing. It was the dark moment at the end of Act Two. Okay, great.
Yeah. Next we got, so if you missed last week, this might have confused you, Hook against Chris Jericho. It looked like these guys were going to be in the tag team tournament, but instead they got a win last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jericho decided he wanted to have a match with Hook. So he comes out, he's using that stupid Lionheart music, and the fans like did not react. And I think they were pissed off.
They wanted to sing Judas.
They did. And they did not like Jericho. Like, so at the beginning of the match,
there were a lot of boos for Jericho tonight. Yeah. That was interesting.
And because they're in Canada.
Yeah.
And they were dead. Well, he is from Winnipeg, and Toronto and Winnipeg aren't exactly next door neighbors. And we don't exactly like people from Toronto, and they don't exactly like us. So that could be part of it. But at the beginning of the match, they were just dead. And then they started getting into Hook. And so the very first move of the match, Hook suplexed him right on the back of his head. And Jericho was selling it. And like, I don't know, man, like Sammy Guevara just got suspended for, you know, not following concussion protocol.
Halfway through this match, Jericho decided, I ain't taking any more of these.
No, but how are these guys supposed to know if someone's selling or if they're actually hurt? Like that's you know, every time this happens now, I'm questioning that. But, and Excalibur even said his bell is rung, and they spent about a minute with Jericho, like just trying to get his you know, kind of bearings back. And I assume he was selling, but I'm not positive. But I did note that in the very first promo they had that he had with Hook, Jericho pointed out that my very first match with your dad, he dropped me on my head. So this was the exact same thing as that. So, I imagine this is going to play into something. So eventually the crowd starting getting into it. They start chanting for Hook. Hook just keeps hitting these German suplexes, and a lot of them look nasty. And then, like you said, eventually Jericho like had enough, and he wasn't going to take any more of them.
I was watching it like, Jericho just decided to, he really turned a shoulder into one. It looked like he almost dislocated his shoulder on one of those suplexes. It's like, I'm not taking any more on my back. No, screw this.
Yeah. So Jason pointed out that people in Toronto don't care about Winnipeg. Well, I don't, they were booing Jared.
Look, we don't need Canada on Canada crime here right now, kids.
Every time Hook was doing a suplex, it got bigger and bigger. So Jericho dropped him with a boot, and then they booed, hit a lion salt. That kind of got a mixed reaction. Then Jericho was selling his head after the lion salt. He did punches in the corner, but Hook blocked him at six. And then he went for the red rum on the ropes, took him into the center of the ring, and it looked like Jericho was going to pass out. T's tapping. Like, it looked like he was going to tap, and then he broke the hold, and the crowd booed that heavy. Mm-hmm. And then he starts going for the walls, and they're about to boo even harder, and then Hook rolled him up and got the pin. And they kind of popped, but not as big as you would expect, because I think they would have rather seen him submit Jericho, but he did get the pin. They stared down after the match. Jericho nodded encouragement at him. Taz pointed out that he thinks it's his biggest it's his first pinfall win. And Excalibur points out that it might be his biggest win. And they bump fists, so they're still friends.
This ending was horseshit.
Kind of, but I thought it was a good match. Like, his match was better than I thought
good
it was going to be.
It was a good match, and Hook got 90% of it, and that was great. But yeah. this was an overthought ending again. Like, Chris Jericho doesn't need to be protected. Use the his bell was rung thing. Let yeah. Hook tap him out or pin him clean after a suplex and go on with it. And then do whatever the angle they're going to do next week is, which I think Jericho is going to offer him the Lionheart name. That's what I think it's going to be. Because he can't team for the tag team tournament because that bracket's already been announced. But to me, this is that TNA thinking, you know, other promotion thinking where it's like, yeah, we'll give him a lot. And then it's not going to be the strong win. It's going to be the banana peel. Oh, he caught him in a move type thing. Just let him go over strong because Hook needs it at this point in his career. Jericho doesn't. He doesn't need to be protected for any reason. He doesn't need to be kept
strong. If he would have put him out, if he would have like just like passed out.
Imagine the shock from the announcers and from Taz if Hook had put out Chris Jericho.
And then Jericho could have woke up and he'd be like, what happened? And he'd be wanting to fight. And the ref would say, you passed out. Maybe show him on the screen. And then Jericho looks over at Hook and he's like, holy shit, the guy
make
did it.
Make it a quote-unquote moment and make it a big deal and just let it take the air out of the room for a second that, oh my God, what did we just see here? And instead of trying to put that over on commentary, and it doesn't work for a small package. I'm sorry, it doesn't.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And you don't need to, you don't need to protect Jericho at this point. I mean, he's at this point, he should be putting people over, which, so they did a promo next week. Actually, it's pretty soon.
Yeah. He's going to give him an offer.
I
think Hook's going to reject it. And then Jericho's probably going to turn heel on him.
Yeah. That was that. But before we got that promo, we got a tape promo from Adam Cole. So like last week, at least this week, he wasn't telling a fairy tale. But this was not great either. He's in a chair that looked like a throne. He's disappointed in Wardlow. He did the "you had one job" line. And now he's got a new job, and it's to make sure the Undisputed Kingdom keep the gold they have. And if you do it, maybe I'll forgive you. And they're doing the exact same thing. Like, yes, literally almost word for word that they did with MJF and Wardlow.
Yes.
So my only guess is going to be that when MJF comes back, Wardlow is actually going to go back with MJF.
That's what it sounds like to me, too.
Yeah, which makes zero sense, but it's probably what's going to happen. Because, I mean, I don't know. Like, Wardlow's character is, after this, like, they can't.
It felt like they had something during the whole Devil build where he was on the out and he was cutting those promos. And as soon as they put him with Adam Cole and Roddy Strong, it just sucked everything out.
Even the lead up to the Meat Madness thing. Remember about a month ago, he cut like two great promos?
Yeah.
Like that was great. And then, you know, Miro didn't want to wrestle and Keith Lee was hurt and they didn't do Meat Madness. And then they just decided,
I was kind of hoping that the Callis family would win the tag match later. Cause I mean, Wardlow needs the Callis family. Yes. That's what he needs.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah. Yeah. Like maybe Wardlow costs them the tag titles and then goes with whoever wins them.
Maybe FTR is probably winning this thing, and then they're going to lose them to Blackpool Combat Club.
The only way you save Wardlow at this point is he busts out completely on his own and says, like, he can't trust anybody, and he just mows through everyone.
Or he gets Don Callis as a manager, because that's the guy that's over as a heel.
But he can't trust Callis either. That's the problem. So.
No, that's true.
Yeah. So then we had the Renee and Jericho segment, which we already talked about. And then they go to the ring, and Shivani's calls out Ospreay, and Ospreay comes out, another big pop, and he apologized to Canada for the way he acted at Forbidden Door, but he says, "I'm going to make it up to you with great wrestling, and all I'm asking in return is maple syrup." And the fans love that, the Chen and Bruv. And he mentioned the Danielson Shibata match, and he said it was great. I hope the lads in the back were watching. That was excellent professional wrestling. But he said, "I listened to Danielson talk about it afterwards, and he said, I can't walk in his shoes." And he says, "The reason I can't walk in your shoes is because they're too small." What a great line. Then he puts over everything he won in Japan. And he said, he challenged Katsuyori Shibata for next week. He said, "We wrestled once before. I was only 23. I was a kid. Ever since then, you know, I've got a mortgage. I got a family, an old lady, a kid. And now we're going to do this again. When I wrestled before I was a kid, now I'm a man." It's a great promo, and set up this match for next week. So, you know, he's going to try to outdo Danielson, and he probably will. It's going to be awesome.
Looking forward to it. The one thing I would change, and this is just Jeff giving a studio note, is I don't want to be language police, but don't say it's a great match. Say it was a hard fight. But that's okay. I believe in the kayfabe world of wrestling kind of.
Well,
thing.
I don't
want these guys being fanboys for good matches. I want them to just, you know.
About a week and a half ago, I think it was, Danielson had a match on Collision. I can't remember who it was with, but then I think it's maybe Brian Keith. I don't know. But then Will Ospreay comes out after the match and he congratulates him. And then he did that promo where he said, "You're the gold standard."
Yes.
And that bugged me, because Danielson just lost Eddie Kingston. He loses all his big matches, and the only guys he beats are jobbers. So it's like, that made no sense. But then last week he sold me. Like, he explained why, you know, Danielson, why this is important to Danielson and why it's important to him, and how Danielson's the best wrestler of the last 20 years. He's the best wrestler today. And now he wants to prove that he's better than the best wrestler of this decade. Yeah, I can buy
I'm
that
fine
Danielson.
With that. I'm fine
I can
with
buy
that.
That Danielson's the best wrestler of the last 20 years, mm-hmm, more than I can buy he's the best wrestler in 2024 because of his results. Like, you know, and you want to be kayfabe, right?
Yes.
So yeah, this was, you know, a little bit of that. But then he's also saying, like, you know what? You wrestled Shibata. You had a great match. I'm going to wrestle him. I'm going to have a great match. I'm going to beat him. And I'm going to show you. So I don't know. I just, there's a lot of, like, discourse around the idea that, you know, WWE missed out with this guy. And yeah, I mean, WWE, you know what? They probably didn't realize he was as good a promo as he is. Didn't realize he had the charisma he has. That said, And I'm not saying he wouldn't do great in WWE. I'm sure he would. AEW needed Will Ospreay
more than WWE needed him. Yes.
Way more.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And so Will's in the right place. Everyone should be happy about it.
The people saying those types of things are people who are trying to cope with the fact that AEW is still number two. I hate to say right. that, but I mean, it's like WWE didn't need Ospreay or Okada, or obviously they didn't need Mercedes, which I mean,
no.
AEW needs them and good for them. And I hope that they grow and expand and they do well there. But it's just one of those talking points where you go, man, I mean, I saw that it was in the New York Post. I think.
Like, yeah.
Oh man, WWE needs to address this free agent season after missing out on these three big people. I'm like, they're about to sell out Philadelphia Stadium for two nights in a row.
They sold out nine straight TVs. And yeah, the natural result to that's me. Oh, look at WCW when they were doing all their sellouts, and you know, a year and a half later, they were out of business. Yeah, the difference is WWE has NXT that has a shitload of talented people down there. They got people in the main roster they're not using that they can elevate. They're doing just fine.
This is trying to make Fetch happen, and it's not happening.
Just no, I think everyone should be happy.
Exactly.
Okada's in the right place. Mercedes in the right place. You know, Cody's in the right place. Like
it's the old Louis C.K. bit about, you know, everything's great, but everybody's miserable at the same time.
Yes.
It's just one of those things where it's like wrestling is as good as it's been from both companies right now. And everybody's just angry at the people that they don't like. It's ridiculous to me.
I mean, WWE signed Sean Spears. Do they need him? No. Is he going to do anything there? No.
No.
But, you know, whatever.
Well, he may help on the training side. So
it's I doubt it.
He's from what I hear, he's very popular as a trainer down there.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah.
They did a promo for Cage and Copeland. I don't have any notes. It was a good promo. Another video package that some
people should have been hyping this all night in terms of like getting guys taped up, making it feel like there's a tension in the
air. Yeah, they did the thing at the very beginning, and then they did this video, and that was pretty much it. Yeah, we should have got interviews from both guys backstage.
How are you feeling right now?
Yeah.
You know, an I Quit match. You know,
Ed should have done a version of that promo where, you know, I think it was online or something, or maybe it was an interview where he's, you know, he's been wanting this match for 40 years. And I mean, the one he did that was, you know, non-kayfabe was more like, this is like something we've been wanting to do together. You know, you don't want that promo.
I'll tell you what I would have done here.
What's that?
We had Magnum in town for Revolution. I would have done a video package comparing the two I Quit matches.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Or something like that. Or just bringing Magnum in to give a thing. I don't think Tully's.
But they can't use any footage. That's the problem.
They can't use the footage, but they can use Magnum.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Did they have? They've had some I Quit matches in AEW too. They could have.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah. Next, we got Mariah May and Toni Storm against Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa. This match was fine. It wasn't anything special. The story of the match was Deonna just kept getting annoyed because Thunder Rosa was doing better than she was. And eventually Thunder Rosa got the pin on Tony after Tony hit her Sweet Cheeks music. And then she went for the power bomb, but Rosa reversed it and pinned her out of nowhere. And then they showed Deonna, and she was kind of annoyed that
hate this story so much, but it'll get Deonna to be cast as she's supposed to be as a
heel.
So I'm fine with
it. And you know what else it's going to do? So this is going to set up a Thunder Rosa versus Toni Storm title match, which will eventually lead into a Toni Storm Mariah title match. But we're also going to have a storyline involving Deonna and Thunder Rosa that's not about a title. So this is what we want. We want women's storylines that don't involve titles.
Yes.
Yeah.
We want to build this division out, which would
be nice. Yeah. So this was good. I thought, you know, and the wrestling was fine. It wasn't great. Technically it wasn't the worst match on the show because we had a couple squashes.
I get annoyed because it makes no sense because, hey, I brought Thunder Rosa in to help me with these two, and then she gets the win and you're mad about it. I'm just like, that's stupid.
Immediately. Like, there was tension.
No, Thunder Rosa did a blind tag for weeks or something like that, and then eventually come bubbling up. But
she's just jealous. The one thing I did note was that Deonna's tan was very dark. Her skin tone was darker than Thunder Rosa, who is Latina. So I just pointed that out, whatever that's worth. We had the Swerve Open Challenge, and he asked for somebody big, and out comes Butcher. And he looked like Dax Harwood's jacked older brother. This is where Excalibur pointed out that due to the, so this is what he said, due to the NCAA tournament this weekend, Collision is going to return on March 31st. Like, I don't know why he didn't just say there's no Collision this weekend, but they very clearly didn't want to say that Collision was preempted. So he just kept promoting that Collision will be back next week without pointing out that it won't be on this week.
Well, it's partially also to plug that basketball will be on TBS because they own the product. So
they did a piss poor job of that.
I get that. Good on the Butcher. Toronto, very close to Buffalo.
Yep. And so the crowd reaction was kind of mixed. Although they did get into Swerve's, you know, high level offense. It was a short match.
Well, they wanted the monocle, like me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Swerve hit the last call on the Swerve Stomp, and then instead of going for the pin, he put on an arm bar, it was almost like a Kimura. I can't remember exactly what they called it, but it looked like a Kimura to me, and he got the submission. So I don't know if they're doing a chain match or a submission match or what they're doing, but you know, Swerve doing a submission was new, and they pointed out it was his first submission win as well. So we had Hook's first pinfall and Swerve's first submission. So I don't know what that means, but Swerve cut a promo on Joe, said he used to respect him. Now he doesn't like him. He hates him. And crowd was actually not terribly into this. He had his chain, but he said, I can't wrap it around your neck because your neck's too damn fat. And then he says, but I'm going to keep taking out your security until I get what I want. And so out comes Joe, and he said, you know, I really should just ignore you. I've already beaten you, and you should be shoved down the ladder. There's no more rankings, true, by the way. I don't know if you caught that while you were away. But
oh, I did. I'm still very upset by this.
Okay. Well, our friend Larry, who I think you've known longer than me, he's still keeping AEW rankings, so I don't know if you can
follow. So we have unofficial rankings by Larry.
No, Stanton. He says they're official.
Okay.
I believe follow at Real Early Podcast on X for the official AEW rankings. Cheap plug for Larry. So he says that your problem is that you make these people believe that the impossible is possible, and this belief is infectious, and all these idiots think they can be great too. And that was good because the fans wanted to cheer him, and they actually booed that. And he said, it's great until someone like me shows up and takes everything you have. I know exactly what to do, and that's to give you what you want. So he's about to give him a world title match, and out comes Don Callis, and the fans hated Callis. They're booing him. It's almost as bad as Dom. Not quite, because we could actually hear him, but barely. And he said that Swerve's booking himself into a title match, and that's not right. You and Takeshita have the same amount of wins, and Takeshita's actually unbeaten by anyone outside the family. So he challenges him to a match against Takeshita. Presumably this is for the world title shot against Joe, but they never actually officially said that. But I mean, this is basically just standard booking, right?
Right. And this will make the bridge from Takeshita to then Ospreay, if Ospreay and Swerve or Ospreay and Joe is next. So I'm fine.
Exactly. Yeah, no, this is great. And in fact, I mean, they could even have Ospreay. You could have Ospreay like get involved and you know, he's still not really, I guess
he's not yet full baby. He's dipping his toe in the water.
Unless he like dips out of it again and, you know, like, does something bad. He said this place isn't Swerve's house. It's the Don Callis family house. And then Swerve said he's going to burn down the Don Callis family tree. So just a slight misstep there, but no biggie. We got the point. And he accepted the challenge and he's going to beat Takeshita and then he's going to beat Joe. So that was, you know, that was basically telling you that the winner of Takeshita and Swerve, which is going to be Swerve, is wrestling Joe, probably at Dynasty, although they didn't technically say that. Next we got the main event of Dynamite, and the Edge comes out and the crowd sang his song, and Edge, or Copeland, I should say, seemed surprised by the fact that they sang his song and knew all the words. And this was an I Quit match, and Christian Cage comes out as well. Fans chanted holy shit before they even locked up, which it's like the third or fourth time we've seen this match. I'm not exactly sure why these fans were so amazed that we were going to see these two wrestle each other, but you know, whatever. Excalibur told us that we may go overtime, which is weird because Rampage is airing after it. So they did go overtime, and it's kind of funny because at the end of the match, I think the lights went out.
They did a and hard then, cut to go to the next show.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden the boards changed and we're in Rampage now, even though it was the match was still on. So that was weird. But anyways, to the match, this match, you know, I wrote down a million notes, and I'll just say some of the key stuff. But the overall thing was, I think these guys probably put this match together when they were 15. You know, literally every spot. They one of the first things they did was they went to a penalty box, and I hope these fans were plants. One of them had a Bruins jersey.
Oh, they were plants.
Yeah, Edge puts the Bruins jersey on Christian, and then he puts a Leafs jersey on himself.
You don't do that kind of fan service without planning it out. Yes, yeah. They were plants, Paul.
They had a hockey fight, so that was cool. Fans loved that. They chanted, "Go Leafs, go." They did a spot on the where they draped a ladder over the announce desk, and they both took a bump on it. That got a "This is awesome" chant. Copeland set up a ladder upside down, dropped Christian on it, balls first, and the fans chanted, "You sick fuck." Wasn't the last time we'd hear that chant tonight. Just looking through the cage, put him through a table outside the ring. That got "Holy shit" chants. Ref asked Copeland if he's going to quit. He said, "Screw you." But then later on, Christian put him in the what did he do? Oh, yeah, he had the he catapulted him in the bottom of the ladder, and then the ref asked him if he wanted to quit, and he took a long time, and then he's just like, "No." And that was kind of cool. Copeland put on the cross face, but Cage went for the ropes, and then he reversed it, and I gouged him. They went after break, they come back, and they're brawling on the ramp, and Christian got thrown off a stage. Copeland went and got a hockey net. I didn't even write down anything that happened. Did you notice whatever they did with the hockey net?
He threw him into the goal.
Oh, did he? Okay. All right. So after that, I noted something must have happened during the break because Copeland was bleeding like crazy. Christian was begging off. Shayna showed up, crotched Edge with a hockey stick. Copeland refused to quit, so Cage broke the hockey stick over his back, threw him in the ring, and he's beating on him with a stick. Asked him if he quits. He barely said no. Cage went out under the ring. He grabbed a chair. He grabbed another chair to do a concerto, but then he threw that chair down and grabbed a barbed wire chair instead. And Schiavone said that Mother Wayne probably put it there. He set up the concerto, but Edge rolled out the last second. Then Edge grabbed the barbed wire chair and went after it, but Cage blocked him. Went for kill switch. Edge reversed. Edge got the hockey stick and went for the crossface, but he couldn't answer the ref because he was, you know, his mouth was blocked. So Edge grabbed his drawstring from his tights and he tried to choke him out, and Christian still wouldn't quit. So out come Nick Wayne and Killswitch. I don't know where the hell they were all night, but they finally showed up and they attacked. Mama Wayne slapped him. Matt Menard and Danny Garcia makes a save. Garcia choked out Killswitch. Edge gave Christian the execution on the barbed wire chair, but they called it the impaler. Edge set up a ladder. Garcia and Menard knocked Wayne out. Copeland dived from the ladder to the outside, took out Killswitch and Wayne, threw them back in the ring, and then Garcia and Menard handcuffed Killswitch and Garcia to the ropes. Mama Wayne was helping Christian up, and then all of a sudden, Mama Wayne's in between all three guys, and Edge threatened her, and she bolted. So now it's just 3-on-1 against Christian. And they handcuffed Christian to the ropes. This went on way too long. The crowd lost interest in this at some point. It was too bad because the work was great, but they just they overthought this, I think. And he brought out Spike. So if you didn't watch Collision, Edge has been carrying around this big box that said Spike, and he alluded to the fact that he consulted with Mick Foley and Abyss and come up with his own version of Janice and Barbie, and he's got Spike, which is a barbed wire baseball bat. So anyways, he threatened Christian with it. Then he low-blowed him. Ref asked him if he quit, and he said no. So then Edge just started pounding him in the balls with this thing. And the ref asked him again, and Christian's about to say, "Go fuck yourself," but the ref pulled away on the mic. And then he pulled out the barbed wire again and low-blowed him in the balls again. This is where the lights went out and then back on. And then we're into Rampage, and then Edge threatened him again, and this time he quit. So he didn't officially quit on Dynamite. I don't know if that plays into anything, but
for the ending, look, getting hit numerous times in the balls, that should make you quit. I'm fine with that logic. This feels like a WWE I Quit match, and it's a shame because I brought up the Magnum thing before. They had the out there when the stick was broken and he had that little spike, much like the wooden chair in the Tully and Magnum match where Magnum's just trying to jam it into his eye and you think you're actually going to try and kill him and he's driving into his shoulder and the wound there. I like my I Quit matches a little bit more, a little less bells and whistles-y. Look, it's fine that he wasn't a stupid babyface and he had a plan for when Killswitch and Nick Wayne came out, but there's something mildly disturbing about winning an I Quit match 3-on-1.
Yeah.
Now, as opposed to overcoming the odds or something.
Brian Zaleem, who has co-hosted, filled in for you in the past on this show, he had a great idea. And they could have done his idea here. So what they could have done, and I will even say should have done, was when Christian got handcuffed to the thing and Edge brings out Spike and he holds it up, Christian right away should have quit.
Yes.
And then Edge can grab the mic and he said, "Go fuck yourself." And then beats the shit out of him with the barbed wire baseball bat.
Well, the other part
that would have been perfect.
To me, you have all three guys handcuffed.
Yeah.
This is the time for a little bit of mental torture, too, where, take out Nick Wayne's balls first with a little spike, and then you take out Killswitch's balls with it. I mean, don't get me wrong. This was fine. But, it's like I got him right where I want him.
Yeah.
There's no rush here. It was just one of those things that it came off very strange to me. Let's put it that way. But I love that idea too. It's like he just quits and doesn't give him the satisfaction. It's like, nah, I'm not accepting that.
Yeah. And then he uses the line that kicked off the feud.
Yeah.
And that would have been great. But
he comes over, he gives him a hug after saying I quit, and then he just goes, go fuck yourself. And then boom.
Yeah.
Kicks him in the balls and nails him.
Yeah.
Times.
Yeah. And a couple hundred times. There's confetti all over the ring. Killswitch and Nick Wayne somehow got loose from the cuffs, but Christian was still locked up. And then they cut to a video package. So we're into Rampage now. And they show the Bullet Club Gold celebrating at a, like, just this. It's, if you didn't see this, and I imagine everybody watching did, but if you happen to be listening to this and maybe you skipped Rampage. When you describe this package, it sounds like they're in a palatial estate, by like a luxurious pool and everything. This is like the dingiest backyard in Southern Florida.
This is a home with a pool.
Yeah. Home with a pool. They've got Jay White is in the background while the guns are talking. They're sitting in like this pool that might as well be like a blow up kiddie pool. And they're cutting a promo and they're
there's a slide to this thing. That's the thing that made me laugh.
They got Darby, the skeleton of Darby with Everest around him. So they're taking credit for the fact that Darby isn't going to be able to climb Mount Everest because I guess he broke his foot in that match.
How much money do you think he lost on that? Because that's not something that's something you have to put a deposit down, I would think.
Thousands.
And then cancel. Thousands. Yeah, he had tens of thousands, I would think.
Yeah, it's too bad. But, I imagine he'll do it at some point. But anyways, they cut a promo. They basically said, we've had a dysfunctional relationship with our dad for a long time. Jay White basically said he's their new daddy. He painted Sting's bat gold, claimed he saved Darby's life because he says, I'm bigger than Everest. And then they cut to this dingy little slide and the skeleton comes sliding down the water slide. And that was kind of funny.
You missed a cameo in there.
Who is the cameo?
When Jay White pulls out that bat and is swinging it around, across the background, Juice Robinson walked into the house.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Do you think it was his house?
Might have been.
Yeah,
him and Tony's.
Yeah. Okay, I missed that. So he's back.
Yeah, it was very subtle. Okay. I actually, Sean Ross Sapp brought up. I was like, oh, I gotta go rewind it. And yeah, sure enough, it's right when he's like twirling the bat. You see Juice walk across the background into the house.
So I think I still have it on the PVR, so I'll have to rewind that and watch it. So yeah, this killed a couple minutes, but they needed a lot of time to clear out that ring. And so what they decided to do was bring Renee out to welcome everyone to Rampage. So they're filming this from the ring. So you see the screen and she's in front of the screen on the ramp. So you don't see what's going on behind her. And then she calls out the Acclaimed and they come out for an interview. At this point, Matt Menard just joined the commentary team And Caster cuts this promo, and he's not funny at all. He's just serious. He says, we should have known. Billy Gunn's not here. He's not cleared to travel. Crowd booed that. He asked the crowd how they felt about Jay White. They booed that. I just wrote down, these guys are cold, because these guys are like, they're fishing for cheers and they're not getting them. But it's not like the crowd hates them either. They just don't care. And I claim Jay is scared because he's a fake tough guy hiding behind ass boys. That did get an ass boys chant. He offered him a first class ticket to anywhere you want to go, New Zealand, back to New Japan. Says, but you won't take any of those because you're not smart. He says, only a stupid person would piss off the best wrestler alive. I'm not even sure who he's talking about there. Darby? Like, do you know? Like, who is he talking about, the best wrestler alive, when he said that? I have no idea. Anyways, he said, we're going to hunt you down when you come back. Bowens apologized for not being happy. He said, I'm pissed off because they're not here. He said, they're not elite enough. They weren't good enough to be in the video package on the tag team title last week. He said that White, you should have gone to that other place that offered you a contract. You lost in the Continental Classic. You lost to MJF with one leg when you're going for the title. And the only reason you got a belt is because we helped you win it. You're not a savior. You're not a catalyst. You're a coward. And the crowd was just not reacting to any of this. And then he asked Toronto to hold your fingers high and then drop one of the fingers. So basically he's telling the crowd to flip off Jay White, and maybe like 12 people did it. This was way too long, but they needed the time to clear out the ring, and that's what they decided to do. And I don't know, this was a miss, and these guys just are
this
so
was
old.
Many things, and there were times I was watching, I'm going, man, they're sounding really like they're putting an edge back on them, and they're going after guys, which I liked. But at the same time, they were both throwing looks at each other when they said lines, and that made me think they were splitting up for a second there. Like when Caster said something about pissing off when he said that line about pissing off the best wrestler in the world or whatever like that, Bowens drew him a look like, wait, are you calling yourself the best type of thing? And then Bowens is cutting the promo and he says something, and Caster kind of throws him a weird look. I was just like, that's odd. Yeah. They went back to the ass boys thing, which I just think is dead. Yeah. I think Jay White called out Brian Danielson when he first got to AEW, but don't quote me on
that. Oh, so might be that. Okay.
But it was still...
Or was there something between him and Ospreay? No, didn't he mention Ospreay?
Ospreay, yeah.
Yeah.
So but this was a lot of throwing stuff at the wall and nothing was quite getting there type of a promo.
I think they went out there to kill 10 minutes with 2 minutes of material.
That's, you know what? That's very, very possible.
Yeah. So, I mean, they did their job, you know, in the crowd. I will say, like, it's funny because you would think,
Go out, cut a 10-minute promo and just end with everybody loves the Acclaim.
Yeah, which is what they did. So this was, it's funny because this was, you know, basically the third hour of Dynamite. But once that Christian and Edge match was over, like, this felt like Rampage.
Oh yeah,
like it really did.
This was a very rampage.
Yeah, but to the credit of the women in the main event, they did get the crowd back, and I did not think that was going to be possible after, you know, that wild I Quit match. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But first up, we got the Best Friends, which is Orange Cassidy and Trent against the Callis family, Kyle Fletcher and Will Hobbs. And it was it's a wild card match. The winner gets into the tag team tournament, so it's like a play in game. I honestly can't even remember who they're trying to get a shot at, but
Taven and Bennett.
Oh, is that it? So they're probably going to win, because if you're a Ring of Honor champion in this company, you're not winning on Dynamite or Collision. You know, I mean, you look at these four guys and you would think Trent would be the one to take the fall, but nope. Kyle Fletcher, your ROH television champion, takes the pin. After an orange punch, you know, which Orange hits everyone with the orange punch at least twice in a match. And here it got the pin. So, but Hobbs looked great in this match, did a bunch of power moves.
Everybody looked great in this match. The problem was the wrong team won. Fletcher should have won on that spinning pile driver. He really should have. And this would have established the Callis family as badasses in this thing. And then they can come to Taven and Bennett, because nobody cares about Taven and Bennett. And they can lose, or they can make a deal, or something. You have your heel on heel match, which is like, okay, what's going to happen here? Are they going to try and cheat? But I thought this was staged pretty well with Fletcher and Hobbs killing the best friends here.
Yep. And which I thought in retrospect was just so they'd still look good, even though they're going to lose.
That should have happened. Nobody cares about Orange Cassidy and the Undisputed Kingdom, which is just a stable of geeks for the most part.
And they're probably going to lose. And Wardlow's probably going to cost them the match, so Cole's going to get mad at him. And
Or they're going to win because of Wardlow, and then they'll lose in the finals or something because of him.
They did point out one interesting thing that I'd forgotten about. When Orange Cassidy pinned Will Hobbs in 13 seconds, back in the early days of Dynamite, or it might have even been Dark, and somehow that got Hobbs a contract. and then Hobbs is still upset about that, and he was taken out on Orange here. He did a ton of stuff to Orange. And
we have Takeshi's going to lose this next match, probably. Yep. So he's lost two in a row. Fletcher is taking losses all over the place, which he shouldn't be. Nope. And he needed a win more than anything. And Hobbs needs to be reestablished as a badass. I just don't, unless this story is everything Don Callis is touching is losing right now, and then he's going to rely on Ospreay, who's going to turn on him, which I think is a terrible story, to be honest with you. Cause I like having a big baddie type of stable with big jack dudes in it. I thought,
Or what if Callis dumps his losers and only stays with Ospreay, and you've got super heel Callis managing super babyface Ospreay.
I absolutely loathe that.
I do too, but I could see them trying it.
I could see them trying it too, which makes me very, very sad. But I just thought you have the Callis family run through these dopes, and then we get to some heel on heel action, and then it becomes like who is the baddest dude on the block type of thing. And then if Wardlow wants to like body Hobbs again just for old time's sake, I'm cool with that. And or if you let the Callis family win, I'm cool with that, and then have them take FTR on the other side of the ledger, I guess.
At some point in this match, Kyle Fletcher was bleeding from the mouth, and he was bleeding bad. He must have, like, I don't know if he...
I think he bit his tongue or knocked a tooth out when he was doing that spinning pile
driver.
He's
got blood pouring out of his mouth, and with his blonde hair and pale skin, he looked like a vampire.
Hold on. Are the Bucks on the Bucks are on the other side of this bracket, right?
I think they're on the same side.
No, they're on the... I thought they were on the other side. They're on the side with FTR. I think they're beating FTR, and then they're going to be in the finals against the best friends.
Tag team tournament brackets. Let's Google this.
It's ridiculous, this bracket thing.
Okay, F4W's got us covered here. Oh, you know what? Cool. This freaking F4W thing with their stupid ads. So Young Bucks are facing Private Party, and they're going to face the winner of the Undisputed Kingdom and the best friends.
So the best friends are going to win throughout and face the Bucks and lose. Oh, jeez.
Yes. And then the other side is going to be Starks and Big Bill against Top Flight. So Starks and Big Bill are going to win. FTR against Wild Bill Infantry. I have a feeling Infantry might win that one. I don't know how, but then you would get Infantry against Ricky Starks and Big Bill. They probably have a great match, and we end up with the finals of.
I think it's the other Ricky way. Starks I think we get. Bill I think we're getting an FTR Bucks match as the finals.
That could be. That could
with
be.
With the Bucks then, winning and
Yeah. Probably. But yeah, you could have had the Callis family end up going against the Young Bucks at the end, and
that would have been very interesting.
You just start getting some cheers for the other members of the Callis family, and then maybe Will Ospreay turns his whole stable.
You could always do something if you had two heels facing each other, or if you had the EVPs facing somebody, them pulling rank and saying, "Hey, do you want to be fired? No, we don't want to be fired. We're cool. You take this match. We forfeit. Boom. We're out."
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah. And or Callis strikes a deal and he forfeits, money. And then the guys get mad at Callis. You could
answer to all your questions is money. The EVPs bribe somebody, and then and then they get an easy buy into the finals. I'm cool with that too. We're sacrificing too many good players of late in this thing, and I get that. Oh, we're waiting for Fletcher's partner.
No. I've heard
Mark.
Mark Davis. He might be out for a while.
Yeah. So why not keep Fletcher strong in the meantime? It's just one of these things where we've just
because he's young, and he'll have his time. like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, private parties have been waiting for their time for 3 years. It hasn't happened
yet. Yeah. Yeah. I was about to do an Isaiah Cassidy impersonation, and I decided against it.
Thank you.
Next up, Shibata in action, and his opponent is Kevin Matthews, and he just squashed this dork.
Like Kevin Matthews. He's been on the indie scene for a long, long time.
Yeah,
really got a shot anywhere. He was one of these AEW dark regulars for a while that you thought they might.
I think he's got a backstage job there.
That's possible too.
Yeah. So he was in TNA for a while. He was doing like what's his name? Biff from Back to the Future. He's basically playing Biff from Back to the Future, and he had some good skits that he did. But this was just a quick squash. Shibata hit all his showcase moves. I love the thing where he puts a guy in a sleeper and then he lets it go and hits him with a penalty kick and gets a pin. So yeah, that was it was quick and painless, and it was a nice showcase for him.
Yeah,
heading into his match with Ospreay. So he talked about the match with Ospreay the whole time. Ospreay did that great promo. I mean, this is going to sell some tickets and it's going to get some viewers. They did a great job. I hats off.
Yeah.
So they cut backstage to the lamest celebration that you'd ever want to see. It was Copeland with the best friends, Top Flight, Action Andretti, Matt Sydal, and Daniel Garcia. And he's still bleeding up a storm.
You know what I guarantee? I guarantee the arena said, no, you can't spill champagne in our locker room. Do it out in the loading dock.
Yeah. So there, this was like, it reminded me of, they would do this in WCW, you know, or even NWA, you know, where just all the random baby faces would just get together.
I'm fine with those, but it shouldn't happen at the loading dock. It should be in the locker room. It just looked stupid. And it was half-assed. It was so.
And Edge was the only one drinking, because I think the rest of them are too young. I'm not sure.
They don't like champagne.
Maybe. You know what? That's probably
it. They're all straight Edge.
Yeah, that's probably it. And Edge, hey, more for me. Poor Matt Menard couldn't join because he's on commentary.
No, Menard was there. Menard
wasn't. He wasn't. He was on commentary.
I thought that was a free tape. It looked like he was there.
No, he wasn't there. It was Garcia.
Sydal was there for some reason.
Sydal was there. I wrote down who was there. Best friends, Top Flight, Action Andretti, Matt Sydal.
I defer to your historian.
All right. Next, we got Konosuke Takeshita and Rocky Romero. So this was a good
match to ever rampage.
It was, and it was a really good match. Except
no, one
it wasn't supposed to be a really good match.
No,
Konosuke Takeshita is wrestling Swerve for a shot at the title.
We don't understand the assignment in this company.
Maybe Rocky gets one hope spot, or you know, like even a hope sequence. Rocky took 70% of this match over Takeshita, who has been mowing through people. The only person he's lost to is Ospreay, and he's wrestling Swerve Strickland for a world title match next week. And you would think it was Rocky that was.
It's amazing because what Tony has in the back of his head is all these guys. I watch wrestling for good wrestling, kind of thing. No, Konosuke Takeshita should kill a guy here.
Like, I mean, I'm okay with it going a little bit longer, you know, like maybe Rocky, you know, like kicks out of a few things or something. But Rocky was hitting all his moves. Takeshita was barely kicking out. Takeshita went for a charge into the corner and hit his arm into the corner. And he's selling that arm the whole rest of the match. I'm sure he was just selling. But if he wasn't, I'm going to be more pissed off. And
eventually just lost to Ospreay. Let him murder death a guy.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, so they had a great match. Crowd got into it. Takeshita hit a lariat. He's still selling his arm. Then he hit a spinning elbow strike and a falcon arrow and got the win.
We're telling the story. Story that Takeshita has hurt his arm.
Yes.
How Swerve's going to beat him.
That's exactly what I wrote in my next thing. He's selling and it's going to play into next week. There was a spot where he hit a reverse spike pile driver and then a blue thunder bomb and Rocky kicked out. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? At that point I was just typing. I don't even know what joke I stole of.
And then they got the "This is awesome" chant, and he kicked out at two for those two things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it was awesome. And
they should have been shamed. Shame that crowd.
This was a PWG match on AEW Dynamite, is what it was. So we got it. It was the end of the show already, and man, I gotta say, like 3 hour show, this flew by. I will say that because when they got to the main event, I was like, wow, really? And Mark Henry did the main event intro, and you know, it's, I watch Rampage every week, and I think he only started doing this again about a week or two ago, so I'm glad to see him back. And they just did, it's not an interview like they used to do. They just did a video package, which I know people don't like, but I do. And they showed highlights of the feud so far. Stat and Willow are out, and they're all in all white. And I assumed they were, it's meant we were going to get a bloodbath, but we didn't really get a bloodbath. It was sky blue blood a little bit, but that was that. But they had a pretty darn good little street fight. Stokely was on commentary. When they started out rough, because one of the very first things that happened in the match was Sky Blue took a bump. I'm not exactly sure why. Excalibur said she was going for an elbow drop, but there was nobody anywhere close to her. And I'm not exactly, I think she was probably figured there was going to be someone there, but that was interesting. But they brought chairs in right away. The crowd was kind of dead at the beginning because they had just seen the I Quit match like half an hour ago. Stat picked up Julia while she was sitting in a chair and slammed them both down. And from that point on, like, cause I've never seen that. And the fans kind of got into it after that. And then Willow drop kicked her off of it. The baby faces grabbed a spike, and that's, I think, when Sky Blue got busted open with the spike. And Excalibur pointed out that we might go over time. And then they went to a commercial, and when they come back, there's like 1 minute left in the show. So yeah, pretty good bet. We're going over time here. They come back from the break, and because I don't watch the picture in picture, so my test of whether a match was good or not is how the crowd's reacting after the break. And this crowd was molten after the break. So they're chanting, "This is awesome." Sky Blue's busted open. Willow had cannonballed her into a chair during the break. Then she puts her on the announce table, and Sky went for a code blue, and she hit it, and Willow just did a thud onto the table and bounce, and I'm like, oh my god, I hope she's okay. And then they go back to the ring and Stat smashing Julie into the ring steps. Sky Blue went, got a bag of tacks, crowd popped. Then Statlander went out and got her own bag of tacks, so they dumped them both on top of each other. They start fighting on the rope. Stat's gonna give her a superplex, but instead Sky fought her off, pulled up her shirt, which was a nice touch. I mean, she's wearing a shirt underneath, you know, so it's not like she's flashing or anything, but she pulled up her shirt and then she powerbombed her into the tacks. So the camera gets a close up and there's tacks everywhere on her back, on her ass. And then she grabs a handful of tacks, puts them in Stat's mouth and gives her a super kick, went for the pin. Crowd's chanting, "You sick fuck." Sky Blue just gives this like devilish smile to the camera. Totally reminded me of Liv Morgan in the Ronda Rousey feud. I think that's who she's studying. Willow showed up out of nowhere, so I guess she was fine. She drops Sky Blue through two tables with a Death Valley driver. Both women were down. The crowd's going nuts. Statlander went for a 450 splash, and she landed on a chair. And then Julia put on her heartless submission, and Statlander tapped. And that was that. And I'm waiting for Mercedes, and I'm waiting. And I'm waiting.
And she doesn't show up.
And she didn't show up. So if this was a strategy after last week, not telling you that she was going to be there, and then she shows up at the end, and everyone's, oh, the crowd didn't come back. So now we tricked the crowd. They're going to all just assume she's back. They're going to, those million people that were watching that opening segment, they're going to be around 3 hours later in the very hopes that we might see Mercedes. But no.
God bless the AEW women's division, because there is something in their DNA amongst the pretty ones and the tiny ones.
Yeah.
Where when it's time to do a hardcore match, oh, we're going all out for this thing.
Yeah.
Because Sky Blue got killed on that Death Valley driver through the tables.
Yeah.
And that
code red on the oh.
Yeah, the thing that was missing to me is I like Julia and I like Sky Blue overall, but they're tiny. They need to account for this in a street fight with their preparation or their gear, as opposed to wearing something sexy to the ring and having a weapon. It's a street fight. There needs to be, I just want the proper planning. That's all. If this were real type of a thing. Statlander got killed. Making me wonder, okay, when are we actually going to do, are we doing this split or not?
Yeah, like I, well, yeah, and I mean, this could have used, we could have used like Mercedes, but yeah, the fact
we that we could have used Mercedes here at some point to save the two of them from the beating after the match.
Statlander got pinned, but then the last time they wrestled, Willow pinned Julia, I think. So I think that's establishing that Willow is a challenger for Julia.
Yes, I think it is. It's just one of those things where, you know, I would have liked a post-match beatdown of some sort.
Stokely did not get involved at all. I should point out.
No, he was on the commentary just being good.
Yeah, because he's a babyface now.
They're on bows at the club. Tony Schiavone. I don't think I was ever at the club.
Blue was selling her neck after, so I hope she's okay. But she was also smiling. So,
yeah.
You know, I think she likes these matches. And they announced the card. So I think we maybe mentioned these already, but next week's Dynamite is Will Ospreay and Shibata, Takeshita and Swerve, and the Bucks versus Private Party in the tag team title tournament. And then the next collision is until March 30th. And we got one match announced, which is FTR and the Infantry.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's it. We've got three AEW matches scheduled right now. Although I guess there's a bunch of pay-per-view matches too, but that's it. That was the 3 hours. We got through it in our usual time, so that's good. But overall, I thought it was a good 3 hours. If this was a test, I will say personally, since I watch both anyways, I would rather they just did all 3 hours on Wednesday rather than me have to devote another hour on Friday to it. But that's just me.
I want more matches announced for this pay-per-view. Just out there. I know we kind of know what they are, but I like the hard sell. I think they do good when they have a hard sell.
They did this last time. Yeah. The pay-per-view is mainly going to be sold, I think, on Danielson and Ospreay.
And I get that.
They've already announced that. So that's
good. But they did such a good job with Revolution of here are the matches. Now we're going to build them.
Yeah. And I mean, and so I think next week we'll get the announcement of Swerve and Joe.
Yeah.
And then, so that's what, 3.5 weeks out, I guess it'll be. The thing is, we have less TV than we usually have. So yeah, you might be onto something there. Is there anything else announced? I don't know.
No, it's all implied.
We assume the finals of the tag team tournament will be there.
Yeah.
You know, they've also got the ROH pay-per-view to promote, and they've announced a bunch of matches for that. So we got Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe. We got Hikaru Shida and Athena. And we got the finals of the women's ROH women's TV title, which looks like it's going to be Queen Aminata and I can't remember who it is on the other side. Oh, Billy Stark.
Billy Stark.
It'll be okay. Billy Starks, yeah. They still have four in it, but it looks like it's going to be those two. So, yeah, I mean, that looks like it's going to be a good card. And we're going to have six guys probably in an elimination match to get a shot at Kyle Fletcher, and then Kyle Fletcher will beat that person after losing all his matches in AEW.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so.
Greatest Ring of Honor television champion of all time.
And we'll do the same thing. We'll have like a six-way tag team title match. And
to take on Taven and Bennett, yeah.
No, that'll be the six-way, and they'll somehow
win. Okay, yeah.
Because they're the greatest ROH
tag team champions. Wardlow will interfere in that one on their behalf.
There you go. So yeah, that was that. And I don't really have much else to say, and it's kind of late already. It's almost midnight here. So
yeah, let's cut it.
You got some plugs?
I'll be back on Shake Them Ropes this week. I'll talk about my dad's weird relationship with wrestling. Just the wrestlers he knew will sometimes shock you. And all the news and other stuff, as last week was a flashback episode, as it was a emergency for me. Yeah, they went over some pay-per-view, and I still have to listen to the show. I think it was 2014.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was just him and a friend from a brewery in New Mexico. But we appreciate you listening. I appreciate you guys' thoughts and prayers as I went through this tough time. But that'll drop sometime, probably Thursday night or Friday.
I watched, because it was on the network, and it's a channel here, I watched episode of SmackDown from September 2020, and oh my god, like, okay, that's pandemic era, they're in the Thunderdome, and so that's bad enough, you know,
golden role models
and everything. Huh,
you get any golden role models?
Yeah it was them against Shayna and Nia.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, that's the match I watched, actually. The freaking camera cuts, oh my god, like, I didn't notice them at the time, but now, like, it's unwatchable. Like, I don't know how I watched that crap back then. Survivor Series 2014 is if you guys want to go back and listen to this, Shake Them Ropes. So So yeah, so I got nothing else to plug, so that's why I mentioned that. Stay tuned. I got some ideas of some things I might want to do. So stay tuned and maybe shoot me a DM on Twitter and tell me what you want to hear. But anyways, for Jeff, the returning Jeff Hawkins, I've been the Paul Fontaine that's always here, and this has been the Dynamite Show. Later.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.